John chapter number 18. I'd like to read today, beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read 14 verses down to from verse 1 to verse 14 from the Word of God this morning. How we thank God for the Bible. Amen? Amen. Let us read together. If you would silently, as I do aloud, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which He entered, and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon then as they had said unto them, or as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore ye seek Me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which He spake, Of them which Thou gavest Me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which My Father hath given Me, shall I not drink it? Then the band, and the captain, and officers of the Jews took Jesus, and bound Him, and led Him away to Annas first, for He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the privilege once again to have in our hands this, Your blessed book. We pray, O God, for the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of God, move amongst us. I pray, make Yourself very real to each and every one. May we, O God, because of You and Your grace, know the presence of Almighty God. Bless in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Verse number 2 says, And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. He knew it because the Word says, For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. There are places that are associated with different groups of people. Those places often identify us with that particular group. Though many refer to a church building as a church, it is not. But it is the place that the church gathers. A church is not wood and stone. It be not mortar and shingles. A church is people. It is individuals that have come together, who have come out from the world. They have gathered together in one place. And if that place be a building, sometimes we look at it and call it a church. It's the place where a church gathers. Our church in its history first gathered in a home on South 40th Street in Omaha. Just 2 or 3 weeks later, our church then began to gather in what was an old corner grocery store at 34th and Avenue A. A few of you folks in this room were in that building, had attended service at that location. And then many years later, not many, but several years later, we were able to purchase and locate it on this property, and now we have these buildings here in which the church is housed. It's the location. People know you by the locations you frequent. They know you by the house you live in. They associate you by that which you travel in, your car. I don't think any of you came by horseback this morning. They associate us with the place that we go for employment. They associate us with our areas of recreation, but we are associated by the places that we go to. And the world, may I remind you, knows and is aware of the places that we as God's people congregate at. And so Judas, it says, who betrayed him or which betrayed him, knew the place. And folks know where we're at today, most likely. We find that as Herod sought to destroy the Lord Jesus at birth, so is it the desire of men throughout the ages. Though his birth has been celebrated for nearly 2,000 years by literally millions of people, there are even more who are out there today who hate him and hate his name. There are those today who say we should not call it Christmas, but we ought to refer to it as a holiday. And how ignorant they are, because holiday is simply a shortened form of holy day. How ignorant they are because they say it comes on December 25th, the year 2011. Oh, the year of his birth. Interesting. Amen. They are the ones who many times vainly use his name, but thank God, as they may have used it in vain, they have also come to be saved by that same name. Neither, the Bible says, is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God today for the Savior. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God through His name we can come to God. Many of you in your prayers, you think it's a magic formula, and you say, in His name, amen. Or in Jesus' name, amen. And we pray that way so often without realizing how important that very thought is. For it is only through the name of Christ we have the privilege of access to heaven. It is indeed in His name that we have that privilege. Though they bound him, though they tried to, or though they did tie him up and took him to be tried illegally, may I say, and then crucified him, we find that our Savior shows victory at every point. I read this with great interest. As they came to him and they said, he says to them, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, in the English language, I am He. And what happens? They fall down backwards. Okay? It was not forwards. You and I, if we were going to fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship and in adoration, we wouldn't fall backwards. We would fall forwards. May that be told to some of our Pentecostal friends who like to fall backwards a lot of times. But we would, what? Fall forwards, prostrate before Him in adoration. But they fell backwards. Why? Because the Lord's Word has great power. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But we find that they fell backwards at the mere mention of His name. They are astonished as they are trying Him by His bravery and coolness under pressure. And then we find that though they hang him on a cross and they stick a spear in his side and they believe that his heart has stopped, they bury him in a grave and they put guards about it, our Savior came up out of that guarded tomb. And he's alive yet this day. By the way, I believe not only is he alive, but he's about to blow the trumpet and give the shout, and we're going to be with him for eternity. And that is an exciting prospect. As they are seeking Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all of these things, as it says in verse number 4, what is about to take place, understanding He is being betrayed by Judas, though Judas tried to keep it secret, they are coming to Him. They're coming in a big band of men. They're coming with weapons. They're coming at night with torches. They're coming to Him to seek to take Him away. And He steps forth in verse number 4, and I want you to notice this. He said to them, whom seek ye? I want to preach to you this morning on the topic of a great question and a great answer. The great question is, whom seek ye? Our need is not in what, but in whom. The great need of mankind is not for more stuff. The great need of mankind is for a Savior. Amen? We don't need, please don't misunderstand this, we do not need a plan of salvation, but we need a person of salvation. Now there is a plan, and that plan is that you and I have been given the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. He came to this world that He might what? Die for you and for me. Isn't it interesting that at the celebration of the coming of Christ, men are more interested in their stuff than in their Savior? Isn't it interesting that we are more excited about gifts than the giver, the great God of this universe, the gift that He has given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it interesting that our children have been taught by we who are adults that presents under a tree are more important than the presence of Almighty God? We have really messed this thing up. We put all sorts of Christmas activities ahead of His church services, ahead of His ways, ahead of His book. We get all of this thing tangled up. We would rather do this than go to Sunday school. We'd rather do this than to go to prayer meeting. We'd rather do this than to go to church service. We'd rather do this than to tell somebody about the Jesus who came. Listen, that's a great question. Whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? Far too often, we are seeking for ourselves. For most of the world, it's either about themselves or stuff for themselves. My Bible tells me that this is nothing more than self-idolatry. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's interesting that John, as he wrote to the Christians and told about the love of God, as he told them about those things that guarantee to you and I, that help us understand that we are secure in Christ, in that wonderful 5-chapter book of 1 John, he ends it by telling us that we need to keep ourselves from idols. Why is it? We are so prone to what? Be a people who are more concerned about self than the Savior. James said it like this, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. What's the problem? We even pray and don't pray right, because we pray that we may consume it upon our lusts. We're more likely to ask God for a car than ask God to give us the ability to talk to our neighbor about Jesus. We're more apt to thank God for an article that has come into our possession than to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I look back in the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Adonijah. Adonijah was a son of David. You're not going to read too much about him, but you'll find the story in 1 Kings chapter 1 and chapter number 2. In chapter number 1, we find that David is very old. And David is getting close to where he's going to go to be with God. And Adonijah, recognizing that as his son, decides that now's the time. Dad's kind of weak. He's a little bit infirm. He's just not doing as good as he used to do. Now's the time. Somebody needs to take this in hand. I need to set myself up as the next king. Matter of fact, he gets Joab. Joab was the captain of the host or the armies of David. Joab was one mean dude. Nobody messed with Joab. And so Adonijah was able to get Joab and a host of people together and have a coronation and make himself the next king. We find, however, that some come to David and say, "Do you know that this has taken place?" David was not consulted. He was not involved in this process whatsoever. And David said, "No. And furthermore, my son Solomon is to sit upon the throne." And so he gets busy in the business of having this ordination, if you please, of his son Solomon to be the next king. Well, in the process of that, Adonijah and those people hear of it, and everything falls apart. Because Adonijah wasn't as tough as he thought he was. And he knows David is not for what he's going to do. Solomon's put upon the throne, and it's not too many days hence. David has passed away, and Solomon is now king over Israel. And Solomon's mother comes to him. Solomon's mother is Bathsheba. Bathsheba comes at the appointment of Adonijah. And she comes and she says to Solomon, "I have a favor to ask of you, my son." And he says, "Well, hey, listen, whatever you want, Mom, I will give it to you." What son wouldn't do that? And she says, "I come for Adonijah. He wants to marry this gal, and will you let him have her?" Solomon says, "Not on your life." And he has Adonijah slain. You say, "That's really cruel. That's really a horrible situation." I want you to look at something here because it points out something for you and for me. We are so much like Adonijah. We are so much concerned for ourselves and our own self-promotion that we consider not who is really the king. We are so concerned about our own prosperity, our own pleasures, that we make our plans and don't even seek the king, send somebody else to do it. Time out. I hadn't planned on doing this. Time out. If you want me to know something, don't go through my family. Come to me. Time in. And Solomon recognized the pride and the arrogance and the lack of humility and saw that in Adonijah was one who would rise up again to seek to defeat Solomon. Whom seek ye? We're too much like Adonijah. We're seeking for self. We're seeking for our own promotion, for our own pleasure, as opposed to God. Whom seek ye? That's a great question. It's not what seek ye, but whom seek ye? And I love the answer. Then answered them, well, notice what they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus saith unto them, "I am He." I want you to look that word "He" for just a second. And what kind of text is that? Is your Bible, is it in italics? That gives us a little bit of hint of something about the Greek. By the way, this is not a wrong translation. But in the Greek, that pronoun is not there. In the Greek, which is what the Bible is written in, Jesus said, "I am. I am. If you were a Jew, you knew exactly what that meant. If you had grown up in the land of Israel and you'd gone through the classes, you had been taught by your father, you had been in the synagogue, you had been taught there was something very unique about that name, I am. First of all, that means the ever presence. And it's referring to none other than God. In the Old Testament, when God introduced Himself to Moses, and Moses wanted to know, who am I supposed to say met with me? He said, I am that I am. Throughout the New Testament, you find the sayings of Christ. Many of them begin with, I am. Here it's simply, I am. What's He saying? I am God. To these who came, who were seeking after Him, and they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus who's from that city, from which nothing good could come, said Nathanael. A city that was licentious. A city that lie as a roadway between Jerusalem and much of the northern kingdom of Rome. It was not one of the godly cities of Israel. And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. But Jesus answered, He said, I am He. And with that tone, and with that declaration, we find the power of the Word of God as they fell down backwards upon the ground. Though they bound Him later, the power of His Word threw them backwards. Though He allowed them to tie His hands and to finally nail Him to the cross of Calvary, those soldiers definitely remember hitting the ground that night. By the way, Judas with them. The power of the Word of God, never underestimate it. He said, I am. As He spoke to them and they fell down, He asked them again in verse number 7, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I've told you that I am He. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Isn't that an interesting comment? Jesus was there in this garden with His disciples, all of them except Judas, who is now present as well on the opposite side. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ making provision for these 11. And the reason is because He says that the Bible might be fulfilled, of them which Thou gavest me have I lost none. You say, we lost Judas, whom Thou hast given me. I have lost none. I do not believe Judas was ever saved. I do not believe he was ever one who really put his trust in Christ. He went along for the ride. Judas is a great example of folks who sat in church, who nod their head, and who testify to the same things to some degree. But when the pressure is on, and when something is said to them that agitates them, they are gone. Do you remember what happened? There was a woman who brought an alabaster box of perfume. Very expensive. Very expensive. She broke that box open and anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember who said something about the cost of that? It was Judas. Well, why haven't we taken that and sold it? We might give all this money to the poor. By the way, you know who Judas was amongst the disciples? He's the one that carried the bag. He was the treasure. Jesus said at one point, one of you has a devil. It was He. And as our Savior, is in these moments with the disciples, this man comes against him. And the Bible says here that Jesus making provision for these. And as a result of the Scripture that says, what? Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. And so here is this demon-filled man opposing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as a direct result of being angry at being reprimanded by Jesus when he made those comments about the money. Oftentimes people say, well, I don't go to church anymore because so-and-so offended me. I've heard that so many times. By the way, my favorite answer today is, you ought to be the pastor of the church. And I've even told him on the spot, you are being offensive to me right now. But I ain't gonna stop serving God because of you. What happens? Here's a man that never knew the Savior he had lived with for 3 years. Jesus says, I am he who fell down, Judas and those host with him. And Jesus makes sure to demonstrate who he is by setting these fellows aside and putting them out of harm's way. But also, it's not recorded here, but we also find in the Word of God, I believe in the book of Luke, the servant's name, Malchus, who had his ear chopped off, Jesus healed him. Somebody said, Peter was not a real good swordsman. By the way, Peter was a fisherman. He had a sword with him. And they said they reasoned he was not a very good swordsman because he didn't mean to cut off his ear. He meant to slice off his head. He just missed. I am he. Whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? In America and around the world, too often it's seeking ourselves. We become our own God. It's for our pleasure. It doesn't matter what the preacher said. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It's what I want. It doesn't matter. It's what I want. And thus we go our merry way. Whom seek ye? May I implore you this year. It's Jesus who came. Whom seek ye? You can give all the gifts you want, but it's not about the presence. It's about His presence. Whom seek ye? They said Jesus of Nazareth. That guy from that despised place. But Jesus said, I am. I'm God. I'm the one who met with Moses. I'm from everlasting. I am He. Let me ask you, who are you seeking? And are you listening to who's going to answer and who wants to answer? Lord God, this morning, work in our hearts. Lord, I feel in this room there's a tremendous need of one, two, maybe several. Their life has been all about themselves. They've never accepted Christ, their Savior.
They've never humbled themselves before You. They've never sought You, though You've been seeking them. Whatever the reason is here today is because You want them. You want them to know that You are He. That You're God. That You are the Savior. Oh Lord, today work in those hearts. I pray for Your people. Lord, we are so prone to forget. Somehow we think that having a good Christmas is having enough money to buy gifts. But in fact, it's having You in our hearts. It's knowing You. Realizing Your love. Realizing Your forgiveness. Realizing Your wonderful grace. Oh God, may we truly put You back in Christmas. Work in our hearts. Do that which only You can do. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you where you're at to please stand.